This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Scioli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Scioli podcast.
The question of whether or not Joe Biden can bring it home tomorrow on Super Tuesday Part 2. Lawmakers self-quarantine themselves over COVID-19, and the president getting beat up over a statement he made about not wanting to increase the numbers of coronavirus because he didn't want to let people off a cruise ship until he knew that they were not sick. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Scioli Show on Twitter at Rich Scioli and Facebook.com/Scioli Show, where you can weigh in real time. Bill will monitor that. Bill, let me know we have some comments. I will read some on the air to you, brought to you by our great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. If you were there with us Friday at our amazing USO Radiothon, thank you for your generosity. We raised over $150,000 that day, thanks to you. I appreciate it very, very much. It was an amazing, amazing day. And if you were there with me with Mark Levin on Saturday, great time as well, Pittman, New Jersey. My thanks to the Broadway Theater and all the great people that ran that event for us. Walter Kosh did a great job, as usual, organizing these events, and I appreciate it very, very much. Now, here's one of the questions that needs to be asked today as we go forward, and that is that whether or not Elizabeth Warren dropped out of her race and her campaign because of sexism, or whether Elizabeth Warren's campaign didn't work because it's Elizabeth Warren. All right, that's the question. Did sexism kill her campaign, or did Elizabeth Warren kill her campaign? All right, that is the question. Because remember something, she's a Democrat, so I had nothing to do with it, nor did you, most likely. 855-839-1210. And I'll play you some audio of Bernie Sanders talking about that as well. But first, let me bring in Paul from Hamilton. He'd like to weigh in on the coronavirus. Good morning, Paul. Hello. Are you there? Hello, hello, hello. All right, no Paul, or unless the phones are not working, I don't know, but we just had a caller 2 seconds ago, so. All right, something else over the weekend that happened as well. Andrew Cuomo threatened New York businesses for price gouging and price gouging of hand sanitizer, okay? Cut number 10.
We have reports of stores selling hand sanitizer for $80 a bottle. It is not worth it to the store owner. You can lose your license, and we are very serious about this. For the few dollars that you're going to make during this situation, it's not worth your while.
No, I disagree. You know what? This is going to surprise you. I love price gouging. You know that? I do. I love it. You know why?
Why?
Because if you go to a store and there's a bottle of Lysol for $30, you're not going to buy the entire case, and there'll be more for everybody else.
Nobody's going to spend $30.
On Lysol?
No.
You don't think?
No.
This gets bad? You'd spend $30 on Lysol.
No, because I've stocked up already. Trust me, on the lavender Lysol.
You are the lavender, yes. Lysol. No, but I mean, people complain about price gouging, but that's what keeps, yes, enough supply of things that people need during a potential crisis.
That's true.
Because if you go to the store and there's Purell for $1, you'll go, how many do you have? 400? I'll take all 400 bottles. But if it's $30 a bottle, you go, I'll take two, right?
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And then there's more for everybody else. Price gouging is actually very fair from an economic perspective.
Yeah.
But Cuomo doesn't like it.
No, I just like it. Yeah. He's always threatening.
Yeah, it's not worth it. I'll come down there and I'll break your freaking legs is what I'll do.
We have reports of stores selling hand sanitizer for $80 a bottle. It is not worth it to the store owner.
When I come down there
you
with some guys,
your license, and we are very serious about
and
this.
I will break your freaking legs.
For the few dollars that you're going to make during this situation, it's not worth your while.
It's not worth it. You like walking? You like seeing your kids? He does. He's like a thug, like a mob boss. Doesn't he sound like that?
He is.
Well, do you think he paid the $30? Maybe he feels silly. Maybe he got suckered
into the $30. Turns out it's a Fugazi hand sanitizer anyway.
Oh God!
Right?
So
I bought it was $30, but it was lavender scented, like Dawn said I should do.
His wife's like, "Honey, that's a dollar."
It's a dollar normally. It's a dollar. But see, now I told you this last week. I said I went on Amazon a couple months ago and I bought a case of those little. The ones that attach to your bag and things like this, because I'm always telling my wife and my kid, use hand sanitizer all the time, because I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of sneezing. I don't want to get a cold. I don't want to get sick ever. So I bought a case of that, and my wife laughed at me. I spent a couple bucks for a case of Purell hand sanitizers with the little band around it.
Oh, nice.
Who's the smart one now, huh?
That's right.
Right?
Of course, you could just buy a few of those and then buy the huge refill thing. And then just refill the little
I could have done that. That refill thing now goes for $2,000. $2,000 on Amazon.
Probably.
The best was on Saturday after the Mark Levin event. Rich had that hand sanitizer. He put it on and like the entire sales force comes up to him. He's like, hey, can I get that? And Rich is like, guys, you know there's bottles of, or there's bars of soap in there.
There's a bathroom right over there. Go to the bathroom. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Because it's still more effective than Purell. If you have the opportunity to wash your hands, just go wash your hands.
Yeah.
Go do it. But they didn't do that. They got, you know. Jake Tapper tried to one up the Surgeon General of the United States, Dr. Jill Biden, on Saturday. No, I'm sorry. That's the future Surgeon General, Jill Biden.
She's also not going to be Surgeon General. She's
because she's not a doctor.
Not a doctor.
Got a PhD, which still doesn't make her a doctor. Anyway, Jake Tapper tried to make the argument the president has not done enough on the COVID-19 response. Cut 14.
Is the president's desire to artificially keep the numbers low by keeping Americans who are off the coast out of the United States, is that desire impacting health decisions to help save these Americans who have coronavirus or who could possibly have it?
Well, I don't want to play politics here, but I do want to say I've been in the Situation Room every day. When the president comes in, he makes it clear that he wants the best advice from his health experts. As far as the cruise ships are concerned, our priorities are number one, making sure people who are on those cruise ships and who need medical attention can get it. And we've flown people off the ships. We've flown CDC teams into the ships to help. Number two, we want to get people off the ships as quickly and as safely as we can. And number three, we want to protect
our communities. By the way, that point about getting them off the cruise ship as safely as we can, of course you do. You want to get them off the cruise ship. It's not because you're worried about people counting with the numbers and going, hey, well, look, there's more infected people. Look at the virus numbers are up. If they are sick, you don't want them getting into the general population and then going their way because you have them all isolated in one place on a cruise ship. Who in their right mind would think that the only reason to keep them on the cruise ship is because once they get off, we have to count them as COVID-19 if they're positive, and then that's why we got to keep them on there. That mentality is so dumb. All right, keep going.
Priorities are number one, making sure people who are on those cruise ships and who need medical attention can get it. And we've flown people off the ships. We've flown CDC teams into the ships to help. Number two, we want to get people off the ships as quickly and as safely as we can. And number three, we want to protect our communities. And that's a delicate balance that requires the cooperation of many different partners, Department of Defense, Coast Guard, and others. But again, we want to make sure we're taking care of those people on the ship in a way that protects them, but also protects communities.
I understand you don't want to get into politics, but can you assure the American people that decisions are not being made just because the president wants to keep the numbers low as opposed to helping Americans? I mean, that's what he said directly. He doesn't want to bring them in because the number will double. That's not a medical decision. That's a public relations decision.
Well, what I can say to you is based on my experience being on the task force for about a week and a half and being in that Situation Room every day, that the medical input is taken. Tony Fauci, Ambassador Birx, Bob Cadillac, myself, Ben Carson, you have multiple doctors in the room, and our voices are in no way, shape, or form suppressed. As a matter of fact, the vice president usually starts and ends by saying, doctors, is there anything that I need to hear that I'm not hearing?
This idea, what Jake Tapper said, should have a manipulation warning on it based on what Twitter did with the Joe Biden video. That should come with a little warning right there because he's not telling the truth. The quote from the president is this. I like the numbers being where they are. I don't need to have the numbers double because of one ship that wasn't our fault. All right. Everybody's taking that clip and they're going, oh, you see, he doesn't want it to look like the numbers are bad on his watch. I don't need to have the numbers double because of one ship that wasn't our fault. What do you think the president means by that? What he means is because the people then will get off the ship and then infect people. So that's the concern with letting them off the ship until we know that they're all not sick. The way that they've taken that and manipulated that should carry its own warning. President wasn't saying because they're going to count them and then that's going to double our numbers and I'm going to look really bad now. Look at that. It's going to go from, you know, whatever it is, 5,000 cases to 10,000. Ooh, look at me. No, he's saying because first of all, the numbers wouldn't double because of a cruise ship. However many people are on that ship wouldn't double the numbers. You're going to increase the numbers. You're going to double the numbers. Even if everyone on the ship had coronavirus, what he's talking about is we don't know who on that ship is sick until we know. We can't let them out. They could infect other people. It's absolutely, by the way, very responsible of the president to say that. Because as much as you don't want people to be held against their will on things like cruise ships, and nobody wants that, which is why I'm not going on them. If you have them all in one place and you know that they might be sick, the minute they get off that ship, they're out in the wild, so to speak. This is what the president said. You listen for yourself. Go ahead.
They would like to have the people come off. I'd rather have the people stay, but I'd go with them. I told them to make the final decision. I would rather, because I like the numbers being where they are, I don't need to have the numbers double because of one ship. That wasn't our fault. And it wasn't the fault of the people on the ship either. Okay? It wasn't their fault either. And they're mostly Americans, so I can live either way with it. I'd rather have them stay on, personally. But I fully understand if they want to take them off. I gave them the authority to make the decision.
You see? Not saying because I don't want them to be counted with coronavirus because it's going to hurt the numbers. It's going to make it. No, he clearly doesn't want it to spread, and we don't know if they have it or not. He likes the number where they are, meaning the number of people who are infected. It's a manageable number. If you had 50 people on that cruise ship who have the virus, but we don't know they have the virus, and then they go out into the wild because we haven't tested them, or they pass the test because the virus was incubating and it has a longer incubation period than we thought, and now they've infected 5,000 people, well, then those numbers are going to get a whole lot worse, right? It doesn't take a genius to see that, what the president's saying, but it's very easy to somebody take that out of context and go, ah, you see, it's all about him. He wants the numbers low. He's going to keep people trapped on cruise ships. Well, that's the case. Why do you give him the authority to let the people off then? But that doesn't come with a manipulation warning like the Joe Biden video did that we played earlier, right? That doesn't come with one of those warnings. Paul's in Hamilton. Paul, good morning. You're back.
Hello, Rich. Yeah, yes. Sorry about that. Listen, Rich, the reality is Donald Trump, he appointed the head of the CIA, Gina Haspel. He appointed the head of the HHS, the head of the CDC, and the Surgeon General. They had meetings back in January, and with the CIA had the best information coming out what was going on in China. And Donald Trump did not stop the flights from overseas. He did not enact a full quarantine at the time.
A full quarantine of where?
Of flights from China and Asia, of hot spots where the coronavirus breakouts were taking place. And this continued for months. Flights are still coming in from some of these hot spots. Flights are coming in from South Korea. Flights are coming in from Italy. And so Donald Trump has neglected his duty as president. And as we know, in 1892, Benjamin Harrison, he enacted quarantine of ships coming from China.
I don't really care what they did in 1892. Here's the deal.
Hang on.
I'm not a lawyer, actually. When the president first put in the travel restrictions against China in January, everybody said that it was racist and xenophobia, and it was mean to the Chinese people, and the president was once again being xenophobic. You remember that?
Yes, and then I saw the president fold like a weakling.
But he didn't fold. They still have those restrictions from those places. Not all of China, the places where the virus was the biggest outbreak, right?
However, if they know that people are not going to show symptoms and are still coming in from the flights, then they know those people are asymptomatic but still carriers, and they allowed them in since January. And that's what I'm saying. And he was getting the advice. It, just by watching the behavior of what was going on in China, shows the world at the time that it was a very serious situation, and Donald Trump made the wrong decision.
Hang on a second. It wasn't all of China, and that's the difference. You're forgetting that point. You had a province of China, and what the president did was they put a travel ban from anybody coming from that province. It spread beyond that, but by the time it spread beyond that, it was in other countries around the world, too. So he extended the travel ban. He included people coming from Iran and one other country, I believe, as well. Now it's all over Italy. So, I mean, the problem is now at this point, you're going to just ground flights from everywhere at this point, because that's all really you could do.
Well, he should have done this a month and a half ago.
But he did it in January. Listen, I'm telling you, he put in the Chinese travel restrictions in January. The only thing that they could have done differently would have been to make everybody who comes to the country get tested. But you know as well as I do, then immediately if they had put that in place in January, they would have said he's being racist once again, he's trying to shut down the border once again, and they would have probably went to court and sued him.
So the reason the president did not enact a full quarantine is he would have been mean to travelers, to international travelers. And so
That's exactly what they said about him. They said he was being mean.
So that's our strong leader.
Let me ask you a question.
That shows his weakness. He's a weakling.
Hang on.
And by the way, he's going to own this.
Hang on. Yeah. Well, he's going to own it. But then again, if they beat it, he's going to own that too, right?
We'll find out in a few months.
No. If he beats it, he owns that too, right?
Right. This is the gamble he took in January. But if this gets bad and likely is going to kill several million Americans, elderly Americans mostly, then people will remember this in November and he'll be voted out.
Or if his administration is able to, with the CDC, stop it and it goes away, he's going to be remembered for that too, right?
Correct. But we
Correct.
Already and see
no,
the
no, no,
vote
but,
of
no, 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 but you don't know. I don't know, because neither of us can see the future. But I'm just saying, are you going to then give him the credit if they beat this thing? Like, you'll give him the blame if they don't. Will you give him the credit? Yes or no?
Yes, I will.
All right.
However,
so I want you to call. No, not
see,
however. Call back the show then if that happens and give him the credit. OK,
I will. But one last thing, as we see, the stock market is a vote of no confidence.
No,
in
it's
that
not. There's other factors.
Yes.
Listen to me. There's other factors at play, including the fact of what Saudi Arabia is doing with oil that affected the markets today. It's not just about the coronavirus. It's the issue. I agree with you that once people get tested more and the numbers go up, that, yes, the markets are going to react. People, their numbers will increase as more people get tested. That doesn't mean that people are going to die. And it doesn't mean that there's going to be millions and millions dead like you're predicting.
Well, take a look at what's going on in Wuhan. It's a ghost town. They've closed the roads. They've been handling people like it's a biohazard or a breakout.
Thank you for the call. I know the left would love to have us all in internment camps right now, and the military blockades and roadblocks. And how about freedom? I like freedom. I like my freedom a little bit. I don't need to like the governor of Washington State, Jay Inslee, is talking about extreme measures he's going to take to start making sure the virus doesn't spread by ordering lockdowns on civilians and using the National Guard and keeping people out of places. And I mean, look, it's very easy to contain anything if you want to shut down freedom. If the president wants to tomorrow say, all right, that's it, the border shut down, nobody goes in or out. First of all, if he had done that in February, you know as well as I do, he would have got slammed as being a racist xenophobe. You know that's the case. And they would have gone to court to sue him, and some judge in the Ninth District would have said, what he's doing is unconstitutional, open up the border. That's number one. Number two, as much as the left lives in this fairy tale world where it's going to be like the movie Outbreak, where the military is going to roll in with tanks tomorrow and start putting up blood, we don't have enough data yet to know how this virus even spreads. And I'm telling you, I had the conversation with a very, very, very prominent head of a medical system who told me that. So I'm just simply saying that this idea of, well, in Wuhan, what they're doing in Wuhan, well, they have a major outbreak in Wuhan. We don't have that here yet. Now, could we have it in the future? Maybe, maybe not. But I'm really not interested in this whole idea of the government taking these draconian, authoritarian police state tactics to make sure we never get sick. I'd much rather get what is an illness that's not killing people who are not compromised and risk my chances than live in a military state. But I'm always amazed at how quickly they go there, though. How quickly they go there with the lockdowns and the quarantines and the zones and everything else. It's unbelievable. I know this. The reality of the situation is that had the president said, until this is under control, not a single person is allowed to come to the United States of America from another country. until they're quarantined for 2 weeks. The outrage and the hysteria would have been unbelievable. He's using this as an excuse to get what he's always wanted, his travel ban. He's a xenophobe. He's closing the borders. He's racist. He thinks that this is one of his convenient excuses. They would have gone to court. They would have said, "Your Honor, here's the case. There are clearly not enough people with this virus to justify the president's actions. And these are extreme actions." You know as well as I do, it's exactly what happened. The only thing that they should do now, and if they're not doing it, then it's inexcusable, will be to make sure that every person who comes into the country is tested. The problem, though, is that the test takes, right now, 3 days to get the results. So until they have the four-hour test ready to go to such a degree where they're able to make sure that it's mass available, you can keep them in isolation for 3 days when they get to the airport. But then now you're going to be overwhelming the airports, and now you're also going to be having the people call and scream. And this is a complicated situation, no doubt. And you can always look back and go, well, this should have been done different. This should have been done different. This should have been done different. But the ban against the travelers from the affected provinces in China was all the way back in January. And doing anything before that wouldn't have made any sense because it would have been no reason to. So, yeah, now we could do a travel ban against Italy tomorrow. We do a travel ban against this and that. But we still have a people that have to travel for business and for work. My brother-in-law is with the World Bank. He had to fly to Dubai. I mean, people still have to work and live, and we've got an economy here in the world. So you want to talk about further economic collapse. I mean, on the one hand, this caller says to me, the stock market's a vote of no confidence. If tomorrow the president of the United States of America shut down travel, how do you think the markets would respond to that? If tomorrow the president issued an executive order and said, no one's allowed in or out of the country, and I'm grounding all flights, how do you think the markets would react out of curiosity? The economic genius who just called me. How do you think they would do? Think they'd be good? Would that be a good day? Good day for the stock market or bad day? What do you think? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It's absurd. It's absurd. Millions are going to die because he didn't do that. You don't know that. I don't know that. Nobody knows that. Unbelievable. But yeah, let's ground travel, shut down the borders, keep everybody quarantined. But the market's going to love that. Oh, yeah. The most powerful and prosperous country on earth ceasing to do international business. Now, you heard people say the president was an isolationist. How long have you heard people say that, right? Now they're saying he's not an isolationist, and that's the problem. He's letting the world economy go on and on. Look at him. What a monster he is. The guy honestly can't catch a break. He really can't. He really can't catch a break. It's mind-boggling to me. It's unbelievable. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, 855-839-1210. Bill, are there any Facebook check-ins today?
Of course there are. Let's see. So, obviously, there's a couple regarding just Joe Biden in general. And Mark, posted a great meme that, if you remember... Jeff Dunham, the ventriloquist comedian, he compared Joe Biden with Walter, the angry white guy, in that right side by side. And they look very similar. It's quite funny.
Oh, very good.
Bill says, has a conspiracy theory about the whole coronavirus. Here's what I figured out. The winter has been mild, so there's no snow. It's mid-March. There's still snow shovels, snow blowers, rock salt, and tons of bread and milk still on the shelves. To make up for it, they scared Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Public to buy all the sterile and cold stuff.
Well, there you go. You got to do that. It's got to be the big industrial complex has to win one way or another.
Yeah. And then there's just been a bunch of photos and great interview from Saturday morning's event with Mark Levin. Like a ton of people. I just had the name. Richard posted a great photo. I guess he got to meet Mr. Levin and you, the great one. On Saturday. So it's great congratulatory messages about the USO and Saturday's morning event.
Well, thank you for checking in. Appreciate that. And that check-in on social media brought to you by our great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. They know our relationship matters together, which is why they sponsor this check-in. You should check in as well, either on Facebook at facebook.com/Zeoli Show or on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Look, I'm not saying the president, the administration's done everything perfectly. I'm not saying that. But this is from MIT Technology Review. I want to read this to you. MIT Technology Review, March 6th. China's travel lockdown sharply slowed the global spread of COVID-19. Okay? A new study in the journal Science found that quarantining the city of Wuhan, China, likely delayed the spread of the disease, but won't reduce its long-term impact. Using a disease transmission model to stimulate the impact of travel limitations on the spread of coronavirus, they found that the Wuhan quarantine likely didn't really reduce the disease's impact in mainland China. Compared to business as usual, the travel ban implemented on January 23rd delayed the spread of coronavirus domestically by an estimated 3 to 5 days. But most Chinese cities already had infected patients by the time the ban went into effect, according to the simulation, so it probably didn't do much to tamp down the overall number of cases. Globally, the picture is a lot different. Cases exported from mainland China to cities around the world were reduced by an estimated 77% through mid-February. But cases originating from other cities in China, including Shanghai, Beijing, and Shenzhen, where the virus was present but not yet as persuasive as Wuhan, continue to be exported outside the country. As a result, global cases are still at risk of growing rapidly within 3 to 5 weeks of the ban. Continued international travel restrictions to China probably won't be very effective. According to the model, neither a 40% nor a 90% reduction in overall travel to and from mainland China significantly changes projections for a global spread of COVID-19. The simulations show a delay, but no reduction in overall impact. So remember, the last caller was saying the president should put travel bans on everything, right? But travel restrictions coupled with reducing person-to-person transmission could significantly slow the disease. A 25 or 50% reduction in the rate of transmission seems to have the greatest benefit in mitigating the epidemic. These reductions could be achieved through early detection and isolation of cases, as well as behavioral changes. Coupled with travel restrictions, this could help the global spread to a minimum. In other words, when the president put in the travel restrictions in January, he put in the provinces where the disease was prevalent. But China was not being honest with us and saying that the disease had spread outside those areas because obviously Beijing, Shanghai, these are the major economic centers of China. So China was not being honest with us or the world, by the way, and other countries got the infection because people from China who were not infected and were not from Wuhan but had been in contact with the virus, whether knowingly or unknowingly, traveled around the world. And the minute that that happens, there's nothing you can do. Because obviously, as people get on airplanes and fly around the world and they're infecting other people, and the international airline system is, you know, the only thing you can do is just completely ground all air travel. That's it. Now, I ask the question now, honestly, if the president does that tomorrow and cripples the world economy, would that make everybody happy? If he just says tomorrow, I'm grounding all travel, nobody goes in, nobody goes out. So if you're overseas now, you're stuck there, A. B, if you have to leave, you can't. And C, if you're stuck here and you got family overseas and you're tough noogies, no flights, would that make everybody happy? Honestly, the reason why people think falsely that this is a hoax, and the virus is not a hoax, and I'm telling you right now it's not. Don't think it is, and please take precautions because you don't want to get sick. I'm not saying you're going to die from it, but you don't get sick. So take precautions. Wash your hands. Use sanitizer, all the other stuff. The reason why people think this is a hoax is because the media overplays and dramatizes everything and cries wolf all the time, and then worse, manipulates what the president says and does to such a degree that people go, you know what, this is clearly all being done to hurt him. And if you draw that conclusion, you're not crazy because it's clearly being done to hurt him. And no matter what the guy does, they're going to blast him. So if in January he had said, because of the coronavirus, this thing's going to be bad, I'm shutting down the border. The border is officially closed. They would have killed him. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Greg is in Swedesboro. Greg, good morning.
Morning, Rich. And I'm wondering why the guy didn't come down on Governor Phil Murphy and Tom Wolf for not implementing some sort of draconian measures to stop the spread of flu. The flu's killed 20,000.
You know what? Enough people. With the flu comparisons. I'm tired of the flu comparisons. Let's just focus on coronavirus. What should these governors do? Because they're right. They're not doing it. I mean, people are allowed to come in and out of New Jersey, right? That guy with coronavirus went to CPAC. Should I blame Governor Murphy for that because Governor Murphy didn't put a travel ban in New Jersey?
No. My point is that the only way that you seem to be able that anybody can explain this panic and the way the press is reporting it is either Trump derangement syndrome or they're trying to bring him down. I mean, it's bizarre to me.
But let's go with your point. Listen to me. I agree with you. You and I are on the same page. So let me ask you this then. Why isn't the press hammering Phil Murphy for the guy who left New Jersey to go to CPAC and shook Ted Cruz's hand? Like, in other words, why are these governors who have not imposed travel bans are not getting killed for that by the press. What do you think the difference is?
They're Democrats.
Correct. The three states where there's coronavirus, it's been an issue, right? New York, New Jersey, Washington State. All three of them are Democrat governors. The one guy in Jersey, in North Jersey, was an Uber driver from New York, drove people to Jersey. So my question is, I mean, they're not closing the border between the two states. They're not shutting down the bridges. So is this their fault? No, the answer is no, but the media is certainly never going to say that, right?
No, absolutely not. They can't bring down their own.
And I'm telling you right now, I'm not saying that they should do that, but you know as well as I do that if a Republican governor, if Chris Christie were governor right now, and they had a guy transmit the virus outside of New Jersey, he would be getting slammed left and right. Slammed left and right for not taking it seriously.
Got to do something. Got to do something. They wouldn't tell him what, but they'd tell him, you got to do something. He's not doing enough. He's lazy. He's whatever. He's not doing his job. I mean, it's just so blatantly obvious that it's annoying.
Yes, you're correct, sir. I appreciate the call, Greg. Thanks for the call, bud. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay, now, a couple things here on the political front that I should mention to you as well. Joe Biden, over the weekend, called himself an Obama-Biden Democrat again. You remember that? It was back this weekend. Cut number five.
So, folks, you want to nominate a Democrat, a lifelong Democrat, a proud Democrat, an Biden-Obama Democrat, join us.
All right.
Biden-Obama.
Now, does everybody know that Kamala Harris endorsed Joe Biden over the weekend? Did you know that?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you know that Joe Biden announced it before Kamala Harris endorsed him?
No. Wait, weren't you just saying last week that you can't tell him anything, right?
Anything you tell Joe Biden repeats. He can't help himself.
No.
So Joe Biden thanked all the people that endorsed him, including Kamala Harris, who hadn't endorsed him yet.
Oh, no.
All right.
And by the way, to all of Amy's folks, to all of Pete's folks, to all of Kamala's folks, to all the folks who have Beto's folks, I tell you what a gigantic difference it's made.
Yeah. So that was a rally before she endorsed him.
Oh, my God.
Because he cannot keep his mouth shut. He can't control himself. You tell him something, he has to go out and talk about it. He has to blab about it. So, you know, I mean.
So your theory from last week, and then in the same rally, he said this, plus the Obama thing, you're saying there's a subliminal thing there that he's leading on to, maybe?
He's always, there's nothing subliminal about the guy,
yeah,
by the way.
Yes.
Whatever he says is just top of mind.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, there's a video of him forgetting Barack Obama's name that I'm seeing people on Twitter, including
what?
Our friend Susie, putting out there that Joe Biden forgot Barack Obama's name. I don't know if that's true. I have not verified this, but apparently it's a 14-second clip from Andrew Pollack. We'll have Greg pull that up to see if that is, in fact, the case here. It was a great day on Friday at our USO Radiothon, was it not?
It was wonderful.
Wonderful,
everybody
right?
was great. The crowds were wonderful. And our friends at Chickies and Pete's always deliver. So they took the calories out of the crab fries.
Wasn't that nice of them?
That was very nice. They were delicious. So, no, it was wonderful. And, of course, everyone was so generous. What was the final? Do we have an actual? Is it 155? What's the final tally?
So it's somewhere between 155 and 160. We'll get the actual. We'll get the actual number probably as the day progresses.
Well, we got to over $150,000. One of the reasons why was because, you know, one of my favorite local food companies is Cento.
Yes.
Cento Foods, right? And so Cento Fine Foods donated $5,000 to the USO Radiothon at the very end
you.
Of the show
wow.
to put the total over $150,000. That's right.
It's amazing.
Rick Ciccatelli, the CEO of Cento Fine Foods. They're a great local company right in our area. And they have got great San Marzano tomatoes. Now, you remember the whole thing with the tomatoes, with the Cento?
Yes.
And I said the Italians were doing their nonsense.
Because they wanted more vig for
right.
those delicious tomatoes.
Right. So they were coming over going, the guy from Cento would go, are these the San Marzanos? The guy would go, yeah. But if they were, and it wasn't Cento's fault, the Italians over there were the ones who were giving out the Fugazi San Marzanos. And this happens a lot, by the way.
Really?
It does. And so, anyway, I bought a big thing. Not that I'm a big stocker-upper, but I got this giant, you know those big cans of sauce you can get?
Yes.
So I got the super big can of the Cento tomatoes so that I can have it in case there is a zombie apocalypse. I'm not going without making sauce or gravy, you know what I mean? So I bought that over the weekend. So thank you to Rick Ciccatelli and Cento Fine Foods for that. We appreciate that very, very much. Yes. Put us over the top at $150,000.
Wonderful. I use all the finely chopped tomatoes for all my chili, you know, my sauce, everything.
Right? Chili and tacos.
Yes, tacos, that's right.
Yes. Cento, eh? What?
I just wanted to hear you read the name of the CEO or the...
Rick Ciccatelli, the CEO of Cento Fine Foods, a nice little Jersey-based company, right?
So,
now, yes, Greg.
I do have what they were talking about, Biden seemingly forgetting Barack Obama's name. It does seem legit. So,
all right,
you want to hear it?
Sure do.
Because they invaded another country and annexed a significant portion of it called Crimea.
Right.
He's saying that it was President, my boss, it was his fault.
Whoa.
President, my boss. President, my boss.
Oh, man.
Now, if he were a horse, they'd take him out back and shoot him.
No, stop.
That's not true.
I'm saying they would. You would not race him. They'd make him into a glue stick.
No.
You know as well as I do.
You're not, no.
If he was a horse, I said.
Okay, I'm just...
I'm making that very clear. All right, I'll put it this way. If he was a horse, he'd be at a petting zoo right now, okay? Is that a better analogy?
Don't get mad at me.
Listen, Dawn. Nearly 300 gallons of wine flowed out of faucets in a town in Italy. Italy's having a tough time right now, right?
Oh, I had this in my newscast.
Oh, you did? Yes. I won't say it then.
It's a great story.
All right, I'm not going to say it then. I'll pretend like it's never happened. Dump that, Greg. Dump that whole thing right there.
Just
that whole segment.
Yeah, just
me saying that Biden's like an old racehorse. Take him out back and shoot him and turn him into glue. Dump that whole thing. That's a terrible thing I said.
He'd be
like at a petting zoo. They give pony rides with him. Is that better?
We'll stroke the hair, the blonde hair on the legs.
Is that like leg hair and the horse hair? With those thick horse brushes?
Oh, no.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, man.
No, it's just, the thing is, it's not, like, I don't laugh. Like, that crowd laughed at that one. Like, I can't even laugh. Like, it's a cringe, you know, because it's getting more frequent.
Because they invaded another country and annexed a significant portion of it called Crimea.
Right.
He's saying that it was President, my boss... It was his
president,
fault.
My boss, talking about my boss.
He just breaks in a song.
My boss, talking about my boss.
President, my boss.
It's a sin.
It is a sin. You're right. There's no doubt about that. Absolutely a sin.
Oh boy.
Now, I want to mention to you as well that over the weekend, Bernie Sanders had a rally. 15,000 people went. Joe Biden had a rally where he leaked that Kamala Harris was about to endorse him. Donald Trump had zero rallies this weekend. But that didn't stop Representative Jackie Speier from California from going on MSNBC and blasting the president for not canceling a rally that he doesn't have scheduled.
I don't think the president is capable of telling us the truth about the coronavirus, and I regret saying that. I think we have to rely on the scientists who are attempting to tell the truth even when they have to contradict the president. The fact that he is not willing to cancel his various rallies suggests that he is willing to place even his most ardent supporters at risk, because we're supposed to stay 6 feet away from other persons in order to mitigate the exchange of those viruses. I think that he is showing, unfortunately, why he is so ill-prepared to guide our country during this time of crisis.
All right, so he had zero rallies this weekend. Bernie Sanders had a rally of 15,000 people, and Joe Biden had a rally where he leaked that Kamala Harris was about to endorse him. President Trump didn't have a rally, doesn't have a rally scheduled, but he's the bad guy because he's not canceling rallies that he hasn't scheduled. Got it? There you go. All right, Dawn, good morning. What's going on today?
And good morning. We have 47 degrees. It's going to be a warm, beautiful spring-like day. It's the Yoli Show News, sponsored by Christian Heating and AC. So a lot of school news with concerns with COVID-19. So Germantown Academy in Montgomery County, this is a huge school that goes K through 12. A student exposed to the virus by two adults who are quarantined at home. Everybody's in good condition. That's the good news. And Montgomery County declaring a state of emergency along with the Commonwealth of PA. And this allows local governments to tap into, obviously, federal money and resources to help cope with this. We have the University of Pennsylvania canceling all large-scale orientation events through mid-April. So a lot of universities reacting to this. We do have good news. This is a follow-up for students at Central Bucks School District who are back to school this morning. Everything's fine. I had told you on Friday when we were doing our USO event during those newscasts that they had canceled school to clean everything just as a precaution. Nobody got sick. That's the good news. And let's get to this Northern Italy story, because Northern Italy, they've had it tough. They continue to battle.
It's been a tough road.
Oh, my goodness. So the prime minister, Giuseppe Conte.
Giuseppe.
Giuseppe. Sorry. See, that's what I... So Giuseppe.
Scusi. Giuseppe. My name is Giuseppe.
So... Prime Minister Giuseppe, you have to sign
the
decree.
Why is it the Metagana calling me a Giuseppe? This is exclusive audio.
So he's restricted the travel, telling the people of Italy if they violate this travel, they could go to jail or face a $232 fine. $232.
That's it?
Yeah. That's
the doesn't seem that high.
That's the fine. If you travel.
I'm going to jail you or fine you a $200. I don't like it's not one's not comparable to the other. Shouldn't be like fine you or fine you like $200 million or jail you, but
200.
Yeah. I'm gonna put you away for life or I'll write you a parking ticket. One or the other. But it's not gonna be good. I'll get that.
So what has gone viral is this winery malfunction that has it's gone viral because, you know, they needed something to make them happy in Italy. So they had red wine on tap, literally, in this Italian village of Castelvetro. I don't know if I'm saying this right. So their faucets and shower heads were overflowing with vino because of this mishap at the local winery. 3 hours, 1,000 liters of red wine, alcoholic beverage, pouring into the shower, through the pipes, through the sinks. And so this was the Cantina Settecani Winery. And they said it was this.
My gosh.
Yeah. This is real.
What about that makes it a malfunction, by the way? That sounds like it's a paradise right there. I'm
well, that's what they
washing
said they
myself
it.
In wine. I'm drinking in the shower, right? It's amazing.
Wine, a good place to be quarantined.
Yeah, except, right. If you're going to be quarantined, at least have wine coming through your shower head.
So it was
would pretty, it be low flow wine, though?
No, it was high pressure.
High pressure wine.
Because it was
better.
Coming from the big wine silo, and it was like this. I don't know what happened. Maybe they did it on purpose.
That's amazing. Come on, how great would that be if you woke up and had wine? First, after you realized it wasn't blood, it wasn't The Shining, and then you realized you got wine coming out of your tap in your house.
And that it was probably good.
Yeah.
The good stuff.
The really good stuff. Wow,
get
it right out of the tap, huh?
Yeah, literally. And we have a sign of spring going viral, video of a local bat puppy. So this is Trenton Thunder welcoming their fourth generation bat dog in training, Dash, who's a little adorable golden retriever puppy.
Aww.
Yes, very sweet. So I thought you would enjoy that. And this is Yoli Show News brought to you by Christian Heating and Air Conditioning. It's their trusted HVAC provider since 1989. Call to schedule your preseason AC tune-up or ask about their seasonal installation rebates and specials. Act now. Get that head start on summer. Call Christian 888-2-CHRISTIAN or log on to ChristianHVAC.com. And the forecast from NBC 10, First Alert Weather, 70 degrees today. It's going to be a gorgeous day, and honestly, it's going to be a gorgeous week. So we're in the 60s tomorrow, a lot of bright sunshine this week, but enjoy today, definitely the warmest day of the week. And this forecast brought to you by BQ Basement Systems. Dealing with a wet, musty basement or cold crawl space? Call BQ Basement Systems. Make sure your house is a healthy one. Get that free inspection. Find out why BQ Basement Systems has more than 11,000 dry, healthy homes. Visit BQBasementSystems.com. I'm Dawn, CLE Show News.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate that. 855-839-1210. By the way, how are you feeling with the daylight savings change?
I'm actually good today.
Yeah?
I'm surprised.
You sound great.
But thank you. Thank you. I think we're, I don't know, this year for summer. I think the fact that we had a beautiful day yesterday.
Yeah.
We have a beautiful day today helps.
Yes.
You know, when it's nice weather.
Yes. I agree with you. But I feel a little off because first of all, our bodies, I know you're not supposed to bring up the other time, but. So when we woke up this morning at like 3:30, our body thought it was 2:30 still.
Yes.
So I feel like maybe later in the day, our body's going to absolutely kick our butts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just.
Well, it's
not
proven.
Be happy.
That's why they want to stop that. I mean, the doctors say, all the medical studies say there are more car accidents, more people slipping and falling. I mean, it does impact people.
My kids were nuts yesterday. I mean, they were nuts. And the full moon and Friday the 13th
that's
is
right.
coming up.
Yes. That's right. Full moon.
Full moon, Friday the 13th.
Pisces moon.
Is it Pisces moon?
Yes.
Oh, that's right, because we're in March. That's right. Very nice.
By the way, as the days get longer now, it's going to be harder for us to go to sleep early because at like, you know, in May, 8:30, it's still light out.
That's true.
Yeah. So like, you know. Point.
That was the hardest transition from afternoons to mornings was... We started in May of last year, and we were used to leaving the show, driving home at night. It was still sunny. And trying to go to bed at night when the sun is still out is not easy to do, It's not easy to do.
No, it's not. I would recommend, you know, those shades that, you know, those darkening
shades.
The darkening
shades? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. What are those nice plantation shutters?
Yes.
Those, right? Yeah. They'll shut everything out right there.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
You know, I want to thank Mercedes C. on Twitter. She just retweeted something that Chuck Schumer said on the 5th of February 2020, before he started threatening Supreme Court justices. He tweeted out the following, quote, "The premature travel ban to and from China by the current administration is just an excuse to further his ongoing war against immigrants. There must be a check and balance on these restrictions." 12:10 p.m. on the 5th of February of 2020. So I ask you, when I said to that previous caller that if Donald Trump had imposed a worldwide shut of the borders to stop the spread of coronavirus, how people would have reacted? They would have freaked out, gone to court, demanded an injunction, and then they would have impeached him again. So give me a break with this whole, this spread is Donald Trump's fault. That's how the left reacted. Thank you to Mercedes for saying that out to me right there.
Yeah, I think, though, that what I will say is this is a media narrative. And so well-educated, the caller who called, you know, this is a well-educated audience. But they are, these narratives are everywhere.
I know.
And so my hope as a news person who believes in journalism, because it's part of, right, it's part of our democracy, is that everybody realizes this and sees it for what it is.
I agree. Well said. Yes. Well said. And this guy, that's why I got to call out frauds like Chuck Schumer. The premature travel ban to and from China by the current administration is just an excuse to further his ongoing war against immigrants. There must be a check and balance on these restrictions. February 5th, 2020. Right there. There you go. What else do you need?
Fear and misinformation are a virus.
They are indeed. And you can't wash your hands to prevent the spread of that.
Well said.
That doesn't help.
I'm revealing it.
That's my message, and I'm sticking to it. On Saturday, I had the pleasure of welcoming Mark Levin into town, the great one, and I'll be filling in for him Friday night. I want to play you a clip from our time together on Saturday. I asked Mark, because he's written a number of books on this subject, and I think as you think about your freedom, your liberty today, where we are with the world, I asked him if we're becoming subjects to the government. And take a listen.
Well, let me say this. I think more and more we are subjects to the government. But here's the problem. This has been going on for a long time. And when you look at the media, when you look at the court system, when you look at our government, really they don't stress individuality or liberty. When was the last time you heard liberty on a mainstream so-called television station or radio show? Never. When do you hear them actually talking about the Constitution? I don't mean waving it around. Hey, I mean talking about the Constitution. They know nothing about the Constitution. You saw yesterday Brian Williams and the goofball from the New York Times who can't even do math. Do you really think they know what Article 1, Article 2, Article 3 of the Constitution stands for? Of course not. And then you have Schumer really threatening Supreme Court justices. Excuse me, I rubbed my nose. I'm not allowed to do that.
I rub it all the time, can't help. But seriously,
that's why we're not shaking your hand.
Yeah, but I'm not doing this duck wing thing either, I can tell you that.
Let me stop it right there. That just to explain for you for context. I announced we were not shaking hands at the event. I said my wife's 35 weeks pregnant, and Mark doesn't want to get sick again because he's been battling bronchitis. So he was doing the fist bump, and I was doing the elbow thing, and he called it this duck wing thing that you're doing right there. But it was a fist bump is what I did. We're going to try to clean up the audio on that, and we'll podcast the full show for you. But it was a great day, and it was an honor to have Mark in town. He was terrific, and he's a great guy. He's such a nice guy. And I'll tell you what, he's a smart as hell, quick on his feet, and the nicest guy. And we had about 1,200 people come out and see us on Saturday. So thank you for that. That was an absolutely wonderful day. Terrific. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. You know, this this notion, we talked a lot about something called the 1619 Project, which the New York Times is putting this out there. It's this this false narrative that America started the day that the first slave ship arrived. And last night on Mark's show on Life, Liberty, and Levin, he had on a historian, a black historian, who's talking about how this is absolutely a wrong narrative. And a lot of what we talked about on Saturday was about the media pushing this narrative constantly that we on the right are racist. And Chris Hayes of MSNBC, that smarmy little brunch-going Chris Hayes, who you'll never see Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes in the same place at the same time, by the way, just for the record. He said this over the weekend regarding black voters and the Republican Party. Cut one.
This gets to my point that I think we don't talk about enough.
Right.
First of all, there's generational division. Yeah, so even in South Carolina, right, where Sanders got his butt kicked among black voters as a whole, he won black voters under 30. Right. So there's something going on there generationally. And the second thing is that, look, white people in America have two parties to choose from. And they between those two parties, they sort in all kinds of ways. So people that are college, postgraduate atheists who live in metro areas, like those are Democrats. Right. And people that are rural and go to church every week and were high school graduates, most likely Republican. For black voters in those two categories, they're both going to be in the Democratic Party.
Right.
Because there's only one party they can be a part of because of the nature of structural white supremacy in America and the political coalition. So you've got a broader range mm-hmm. of black lived experience in among African-American voters in the party than you even do in some ways of white voters.
You see how the narrative about how black people don't belong in the Republican Party and the Republican Party is racist. Donald Trump's been doing something where he's been pardoning and giving clemency to people that have been in federal prison for drug crimes. And just last week, he did it again when he had a number of people at the White House, including a woman who's now going to run against a Democrat. And the woman that the president gave pardoned, who's now going to challenge a Democrat, is a black woman who was arrested and she was charged and she had all these other issues regarding drugs and federal crime. This narrative by the left is not going to hold up well when people start realizing just how much the First Step Act, for example, has helped people, just how much the First Step Act has helped, and the economy has helped people in the inner cities. Now, when you think about the coronavirus and the reason why so many of us are skeptical of the media's nonstop hammering of the coronavirus over and over again, it's because of this. Chuck Todd, over the weekend, says coronavirus can be tied to Trump. Take a listen. Cut 15.
Matt, you and I were talking about that, and we were talking about just before the break, what the Iran hostage crisis was the final year of Carter's presidency. Not his fault, but it's a test in real time. And this is what this is, seems to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing. It's what you guys are talking about, right? It's one thing when all the Republicans in Washington say, hey, he says some crazy stuff on tax policy or this or that, but we've got it handled. It's a different thing when the president is out there leading publicly in a crisis like this and people are seeing it in real time, taking their cues from it. There is, you know, there is a certain capacity for chaos in American voters. They don't like chaos. They don't like uncertainty. The markets don't like it. The voters don't like it. We don't like it in our daily lives. I'm frankly surprised that the exhaustion from that chaos has been as slow in coming as it has in the American mm-hmm. public. But this does hold the potential, if it goes badly, to become a kind of Jimmy Carter-like scenario where the public just says, can't wake up with this anxiety every day. We got to have some kind of leadership.
All right.
All right. See, now they're trying to say coronavirus is going to be like the hostages when Iran were to Jimmy Carter. But again, President in January says travel ban in China. Democrats, Chuck Schumer, react by saying racist, xenophobic, and unconstitutional. Got to stop them. Need checks and balances. You see the game here? See why so many people are skeptical of the media in this country? and they know how the left lies and the media just tells their lies over and over again?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.